you start to freak out. You start to get stressed. You start to wonder how it's going to work out. And then all of a sudden, you open your eyes and holy shit, it worked out better than I thought it would. If you don't have to stress, why stress? Life is going to put stress on you, but you don't have to stress yourself out. There's a huge difference. I'm feeling rebellious today, but I also want to do what I've set my mind to. So today, I'm recording this episode on my phone through my AirPods, and I'm walking. I've found that my thoughts flow better when I'm walking. Sometimes my words might not flow as well, but I'm able to think better, if that makes sense. I'm not sure how much sense that makes, but there's a lot of people that integrate walking into their creative routine, and I don't do it as much as I need to or would like to, but I am increasing the amount that I'm walking, so I would say that's a win. The reason why I say I'm feeling rebellious is because I woke up a little late today because I worked. I was biking 11 hours yesterday doing the bike cab thing here in Nashville. That's my new job that's slowly replacing Uber. It pays better. I don't have to work as much. Of course, I'm saying that right after I said I worked 11 hours yesterday. So that sounds ridiculous. But yeah, it's a great job. I love it. And so yeah, I was just a little tired today. But speaking of bike cab, it's been a really rewarding job so far. I've got the hang of it pretty quickly. It's a good mix of door-to-door sales, which I did 5 years ago, and Ubering, which I've been doing for the past year. I know the streets really well already because of Uber, but I also have, I'm pretty comfortable with selling stuff for the most part. And I think that riding around the streets of Nashville, asking people, hey, do you guys want to ride? Is a lot less scary than walking up to someone's door in Texas where they have a killer guard dog and 3 handguns in their possession. Asking them if they want to buy $600 pest control, which one do you think is easier? So with all that said, this isn't going to be a long episode, and the subsequent article that I write following this episode is not going to be very lengthy either, because I think there's a very simple lesson to be found in what I'm going to share with you. I know that I always have this emphasis on taking more cosmic, esoteric concepts and turning them into something practical that you can use in your life. That's, I work through it for the first time on the podcast, and then I distill it and just make it usable in the newsletter. So I think it's a cool combo. So I always have that emphasis and the desire to do that. I'm not going to have any steps for you today to follow or a process. I just want to share something with you. And I've shared bits and pieces of this concept before, which is the concept of trusting the universe, just trusting things will work out. And yeah, you could say that this is faith, right? Every time you get in a car, you have faith that the brakes are going to work when you need them. Now, you have reasonable suspicion that they will, because every other time that you've gotten in the car and used the brakes, they've worked. So unless they haven't, which in that case, I'm sorry, because that must be terrifying. So you have reasonable suspicion, but it still is an act of faith every time you get in the car. And I've been wrestling with this concept of faith over the past couple years, especially due to my religious deconstruction and leaving Mormonism or the LDS Church. And yeah, the word faith left a bad taste in my mouth, because I think that it was weaponized and used to control me, and obviously not just me, but everyone else involved And I think that people have really, there's this big battle between Christian denominations where some believe that faith without works is dead, as in you need to actually do things in order to get to heaven. And then other people believe by grace alone are you saved, where basically as long as you accept the name of Jesus and accept Jesus as your savior and you've been baptized, then that's all you need to go to heaven, which I think is, I actually don't really align with, like, if I aligned with either, it would be the faith with works, because I don't think that you can just say you believe in something and not do anything about it and get the result that is in alignment with that belief. I think that's ridiculous. I'm obviously not a Christian anymore, so I've been struggling with this concept of faith. But I've had lots of experiences over the past few years where now, looking back, I can classify those periods of time as trials of faith. And it hasn't been a trial of faith in Jesus or the church, but it's been a trial of faith in myself and in just reality and the universe and whatever divinity does exist, because I can't prove that it does or doesn't. I can only look for patterns, and ultimately all of the patterns that I see are going to be filtered through the lens of my current belief anyway. So if I have a suspicion that there's a God-like being or energy out there, I'm going to continually see proof of that. And if I don't believe in that, then I'll continually see proof of that as well. So this is the confirmation bias thing. The reason why I'm bringing all that up is yesterday I experienced an amazing display of the universe's capability and maybe even desire to work things out and for things to just fall into place in a way that you could not have planned. I'm sure that there's times in your life that you can look back on where things were maybe falling apart or not going the way that you planned, and you were really stressed about it. And then somehow things ended up being even better than you wanted them to. Like, you had a plan in your mind. You had the way that things were supposed to go. You had this perfect idea of the chain of events. And then it doesn't happen that way, and you're disappointed and upset and stressed and worried and scared and angry. And by the end of it, it works out even better than your, quote, perfect plan. Which is, I think, where this phrase of when you tell God your plans, he laughs. That's where that idea comes from, I think, is this natural process I've noticed where you try to force your will onto the universe and it kind of just laughs and gives you a little spanking and says, you think you know what's best? Well, check this out. So yesterday I was bike calving, and I ended up severely positively impacting a girl's night and made sure that she got back to her Airbnb safely in a city that she was unfamiliar with. And I want to tell you about how that happened, because ultimately it ended up in me getting paid, which is great because I was out working. I need to make money, but I think it left a bigger impact on both of us. So I was waiting for a ride. I had just gotten done with taking someone somewhere in town, and I was sitting on a corner. I was waiting for just a minute because, again, I biked 11 hours yesterday. I was, you know, taking a rest. It was towards the end of the evening. And this girl comes up to me. She's like, hey, do you know where Broadway is? And yeah, I know where Broadway is because that's like the main source of income for me and has been for the last year. Broadway, for those of you that aren't familiar, is the the main strip of bars in Nashville with all the live music and all that jazz. Except it's not jazz. It's like rock and country. So she asked me where Broadway was, and I told her, and I was like, but I can take you over there if you want. And she was like, well, my phone's dead. And she starts getting a little hysterical, and she starts kind of tearing up, choking up. And I would say that I'm a pretty like approachable person when it comes to like showing your emotions, at least especially with strangers. And I was like, hey, it's okay. What's going on? And she kind of cried, whatever. She was telling me what was going on. She sat on the back of the carriage, and apparently her and her boyfriend got in a tussle, and it was this big thing. She started walking away because she was upset, and he didn't follow her. And so her phone died shortly after that, and she had no idea where she was, and her boyfriend didn't follow her, and she was like a decent, you know, 2+ miles away from her Airbnb. She didn't know the address. She just knew that it was near a certain university in town. And so I was like, I can take you. And she's like, I don't have any way to pay you. And I was like, well, when we get there, you can charge your phone to whatever percent, and I take Cash App, Venmo, Apple Pay. She's like, okay, let's do it. And so already what was going to be, you know, a free ride to Broadway turned into a $40 opportunity for me. Yes, it was 2 miles away uphill, but I needed to make sure that she got there safely. So on our way up the hill, we pass one of the other main roads, and I hear someone call my name. And it was this lady that I had taken on the bike 2 days ago. She was like, hey, you gave me your name, but you forgot to put your number in. And I give people my number so that they can call me back for more rides, because they're already familiar with me, and they're more likely to pay me for rides, which is cool. So I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like, of course I put my name in and not my number. So with this other girl on the back, I pull onto the sidewalk. I come up to the lady that I had taken the day before, or 2 days before. I give her my number, and I see that when she's holding her phone, there's a charger attached, and the charger's going into her purse. And I was like, is that a portable charger? She's like, yeah. And I said, do you mind if we plug her phone in for just a couple minutes so that she can get the address to her Airbnb? She's like, oh yeah, that's totally fine. And of course the girl on the back of the carriage is like, thinks it's hilarious. Like, what the hell? We just ran into some random person who happened to have a charger, who happened to call us over to her, and she had a charger, which is great. And then this lady was like, why don't I just come with you guys? And then I'll pay you for the ride back. And I was like, done deal. Let's do it. So now I have both of them on the back of the carriage, and we're going to find this girl's Airbnb, and her phone is getting charged, and we're just laughing and having a good time, and, you know, talking about relationship stuff and whatnot. And it was just a really good conversation. It was really fun. They were both laughing, and it was amazing. We ended up finding the Airbnb. This girl was very, very appreciative and was tearing up as she was leaving us, because I'm sure it was the best thing that happened to her that night, given what she had gone through before that. And she ended up paying me $65 instead of $40, which was amazing. And I was not expecting that. And then the lady that tagged along, we went back into town. She paid me $20, which honestly was great. It was mostly downhill. It was a super easy ride, and she didn't have to help us at all, but it worked out. I gave her my number, of course, and I gave her, I think, a ride or two after that later in the evening. So the reason why I'm telling the story is because I'm just constantly, I'm rarely surprised, but I'm always impressed by the universe's ability to orchestrate things like this. And I don't want to get into the argument of like, well, do you think it's the universe is in this like just pool of energy, or would it make more sense that it's a conscious, loving God? And it's like, we could go down that road for days and never get anywhere. When I say the universe, it's a way for me to not place a label or specific image of God into my mind, because I don't know if there is a singular being that is God, and I don't know what that being looks like. The best thing that I can do is say the universe, as in everything that my mind can conceptualize, and the divine consciousness that is contained within it, or that this is contained within. That's what I'm referring to when I say the universe. So, yeah. That said, I'm impressed with the universe's ability to orchestrate things in a way that you could have never predicted. I mean, I'm in a city with thousands of people walking around on the streets, and I happen to drive by maybe even just the one person who had a portable charger on them, but was also somebody who knew my name and who I had goodwill with. And then not only was she able to charge this girl's phone, but she was able to make her feel better because she's a girl, and they were able to kind of like, you know, talk to each other and banter a little bit and be like, girl, why are you letting him treat you like that? Blah, blah. I try to stay neutral with people's relationship stuff because I think people have what it takes to decide what they need to do about a relationship. And so I just give them like insight, but don't really tell them like, you need to break up with this person or whatever. But you know, the girls were able to kind of connect that way, and that was cool. But I was also able to get paid for the ride back. So this whole scenario really was kickstarted 2 days ago when I met this lady who I took on the bike cab. There are a couple takeaways that I got from this, which is, first of all, I had someone steal a ride from me previously in the day, which was really frustrating. Basically, it was two middle-aged women and two middle-aged men, and we worked out a deal where I was taking them like 0.2 miles away. So I took the ladies first, and then I came back to get the guys, and they were the ones that were going to pay me, and they were not there. And then I went back on my route to see if maybe they started walking, and I went back to the place I dropped them off, and the girls weren't there either. So I got totally stiffed for a ride. And even regardless of that, I still did my best to help people by giving them directions, and I even gave a couple free rides that day. So I built up a lot of good karma, I would say. And so I was looking for an opportunity to help this girl, and I was willing to take her to Broadway for free just because like she had nothing else to do. And so I'm saying that because I think that when you put good things out, better things come back. And we get into this whole conversation of, well, can anything be selfless if that's the case? Because if you're only doing good things for a reward, and this is the problem I see with religion, it's like the only reason why people do service and share the gospel and, you know, whatever else is because they know that if they do that, they'll get to go to heaven because it means they're a good person. And that's just like, that's not really selfless. I don't know if we can do anything 100% selflessly. So obviously there, like I'm conscious that when I'm doing these good things will come back to me. So there is a slight selfish aspect, but I do genuinely derive joy from helping other people and just being good to people. And so I think that came back in a really powerful way. The other thing that I took away from it is I was just thinking about my wife and I and how if we got into a disagreement or an argument or even a fight or whatever, we would never leave each other alone like that in an unfamiliar city or just any city. It doesn't matter. Like it could be our hometown. We would never do that. Now, never say never. You know, if the fight's bad enough, maybe people act differently than they think they would. But I mean, we've had some pretty like heavy, difficult conversations and disagreements, and we would never do that. So this situation also really made me extra grateful for my relationship with my wife that evening. So the thing is, situations like this happen all the time. I have things like this happen multiple times a week where some crazy coincidence, I run into this person where I'm the person that they need, and they're the person I need, and they're really generous, and these crazy things work out. And it was also super slow yesterday, especially in the beginning of the day. And then after I met this girl, I had like ride after ride after ride. After this whole thing, I stopped to get a hot dog, and literally right as I was about to ride away, these two people were like, "Hey, can you take us to this hotel?" And I was like, "Yeah, I was just about to go by there," because I was on my way to go pick somebody else up that I had planned a ride with. If they had walked up 5 seconds later, I would have been gone. They wouldn't have caught me. So I made an extra $20 just from being there at the right place at the right time. We could get into angel numbers and what all those things mean. And basically, anytime I see an angel number, it's just I assign meaning to it by saying this means that I'm in the right place at the right time. As in, I need to stop stressing. I need to stop worrying. And so the reason why I think this is important is because if you can look around you and notice the synchronicities, if you can look for incredible opportunities that you just could not have planned yourself, you'll start to realize that like every bad thing that happens to you is not as bad as it seems. Now, that's not to say, like, I know there are some god-awful, horrible things that happen to people that have not happened to me, or even people that I know. And I'm grateful for that. And I know that that's a possibility. And so I'm not in the camp of like, everything that happens is good. You know, when children are being taken away from their families and distributed around the world for evil people to do what they want with, to put it vaguely, that is one of the most horrific things I can imagine. And I don't really see the good that can come from that. But of course I don't, because I don't have the whole picture. And maybe there is nothing good that comes from that. And then that gets into the whole argument of, well, if there's a loving God, then how could things like that, like how are things like that necessary or even allowable? I guess what I'm trying to say is that I have found a lot of value in giving situations in my life the space they need to materialize into something better. And this is a cycle. You'll notice when you're practicing this mindset and you're practicing this headspace and this perspective, you're going to have a lot of periods of time where something bad happens, something crazy happens, and you start to freak out. You start to get stressed. You start to wonder how it's going to work out. And you're going to be freaking out. And then all of a sudden, like I said in the beginning of this episode, you open your eyes and holy shit, it worked out better than I thought it would. How? I don't know how this happened. And so if it's going to happen that way when you're stressing about it, imagine what happens when you don't stress about it. Now, there is an argument to be made for stress and how whenever you're stressed, there's pressure on you to act a certain way and that you help these things materialize. You help manifest these things. And I can see that. I think that there's a healthy level of stress that someone can be put under. But what I'm saying is if you don't have to stress, why stress? Life is going to put stress on you, but you don't have to stress yourself out. There's a huge difference. I have had a very big challenge in my life that I've had to work through and that I'm continually working through, which is forcing my will onto everything, wanting things to go exactly the way I want them to. And it's not meant to be this egotistical, like, I know the best way for things to work out. It's just we all have these ideas of how things should go. And we just don't know the way that things should go. And so the conclusion that I want to come to with this idea of giving things in your life space to materialize into better things and to not stress so much about everything and to allow the universe to work its intricacies without you like just being so hard-headed about everything, I do think that there is a balance that needs to be struck. So if you've been listening to my podcast or if you read any of my writings, which you can find at nolanvoid.substack.com, that's where my publication is, my newsletter, Cosmic Optimism, Transcendia, all the stuff I'm working on is there. So if you're familiar with my work, you'll know that I really enjoy the concept of balance as much as we can, right? Balance is an illusion most of the time, but I think that it's fun to try to strike a balance. And so the balance here is this. I haven't experimented with this. I haven't experimented with totally letting go and not pursuing anything and not forcing my will onto anything and just letting life take me where it wants to take me. I haven't actually tried that. So take this with a grain of salt. But I would assume that the best approach here is to have goals, have aspirations, have an ideal future in mind, and then let go. So this is a principle of manifestation. You focus on the what and not the how. And I think that rings true here. What did I want yesterday? I wanted to make, well, to put it clearly, I wanted to make $600. That was like my goal yesterday. So I focused on the what, and then the how, I just had to let go. I had an hour and a half period where I didn't get any rides. And me a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have been really devastated and frustrated and in my head about it. But I wasn't yesterday. I've grown a lot and I've learned a lot. And I just relaxed and I said, something is going to work out. Like something is going to come my way. And even if I don't make the $600 I want to make, like I'll know that I did my best and I'll know that I didn't stress myself out for no reason. So all that said, I made $598 yesterday, which is about as close as you can get. Actually, yeah, I made $598. So the how was like way, way beyond what I could have planned. It was crazy, all over the place. But the what remained the same. So that's the balance that I think is helpful to strike with trusting the universe. We have consciousness and willpower and desire for a reason, and it's good to channel that. But it's also good to learn to let go and allow things to happen in ways that you can't expect, in ways that you can't plan. And what I've found is that things will always work out even better than what you thought they would, as long as you hold true to your what and your why. Let the how happen. So that's what I have today. I said this was not going to be a long episode. And as always, I unintentionally lied because it's a 30-minute episode, which isn't as long as some others, but longer than I thought it would be. So, yeah, that's really all I got for today. A fun little story and a fun little insight. Experiment with this in your life. Look for ways to let go and take note of when things work out better than you thought they would. And you'll start to notice more patterns. And that will become proof that it's okay for you to let go. That it's okay for you to not hold on so tightly to your idea of how things should be. All right. Well, there's a giant lawn mower next to me, so I'm going to call it here. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. Check out my Substack, nolanboyd.substack.com. You don't have to have the app. You can subscribe to my newsletter. It's free. See you next time. Bye. Okay, I just had to record this last bit. I just ended this episode at 11:11. I did not intend for that to happen. I was not looking at the time. I just ended it because there was a big-ass lawnmower next to me. But yeah, remember when I said right place, right time, and that you don't need to stress? I just ended the episode at 11:11. So do with that what you will, but that kind of shit happens all the time. And it's because I think I'm in alignment with my purpose. And you can be too. All right. See ya.